The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio, Clive Ramsey. He's here because the Harbor Beach Game Show Series is about to have its 2018 debut. They've had them for a decade or more, but now you are going to be doing the 2018 version of it, and it's bigger and better than ever.
Oh, here we go. It's a 2018 Harbor Beach Game Show Series, Saturday, May 12th. It's good to be here, Craig.
And what games, well, let's just
let's start from the top. The way.
What games are you going to be doing? What's new and what's coming back by popular demand?
Well, this year we are doing Press Your Luck is back. We debuted that last year. So the 80s hit game show, the number one game show in the 80s actually was Press Your Luck for a couple years there. And so that's coming back, and then this year.
And that's the one with the board there. It goes around, no whammy.
Big bucks, no whammy, stop.
And then you hear the awful sound.
Yeah, exactly that. And then we're debuting this year, Hollywood Squares. I'm not saying we bit off too much, but it is a very large undertaking. This is probably our biggest endeavor we've done in our 8 years, so we're pretty excited.
And your game shows tend to want to reminisce from like the 70s and such, as opposed to any remakes they made of them.
Correct. Yeah, I grew up watching either the reruns of the 1970 or 1980 game shows or the current game shows like Supermarket Sweep, all
you,
of those.
You knew there were other channels on the cable.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. But so I grew up loving, you know, especially Match Game. And so when we did Match Game, that was just such a thrill to finally put that on stage. And so we really took a lot of steps, and unnecessary steps, to make sure we were just as accurate as the original set. So we, for that one, we had the orange shag carpet. We had the ugly colors. We had just everything you can possibly imagine. Non-LED lighting for the light bulbs. You know, we went to that extent for that show.
And,
so,
of course, you had to have the funny little microphone type of things they've always had. You know, every show seems to debut a new microphone. Must get rebates on them or something for putting them on the air. But they had all different styles through the years.
Yeah, so we take a lot of steps to make you feel like you're flying back to 1971 Burbank, California, you know, a television city out there.
The way things are going, people might want to go back to 1970.
You know, sometimes I wonder. But it's... So we take a lot of steps to move the game show back to that era, to kind of, once you walk inside the door of the theater, you feel like you're transformed into a different era, different time, and all your worries go away, and you're just going to be entertained for the next 2.5 hours.
Well, part of that taking you back is the theater itself. That has been refurbished. It is a grand old theater made new with new technology and right in there for 2018, but throws you back to when it was built.
Yeah, we can talk. Let's talk about the theater for a second here, because what I'm finding is when I work a lot in the west side of the county, a lot of people think that Harbor Beach is, you know, past the edge of the world and then another 5 miles. But so if you haven't been to the Harbor Beach Community Theater, it's part of the Community House. So it's that big brick building on the main corner in downtown Harbor Beach. It's a gorgeous building. It's one of a kind. It was built back by the Jenks family, who at that time had Huron Milling Company. And the first one actually burned down in 1926. They rebuilt it in 1927 to what it is today.
Brick.
Yes, they did brick this time. And it's a magnificent theater. That's the best way to put it. It's old-fashioned. You know, has the balcony, has the old... we still do movies there, but it has the old projection room at the very top. It's
all the ornate things that were kept and refurbished, you know, whether they were able to keep it as plaster or had to recreate it with something else. But it harkens right back to its day.
Yeah, and so even to the point where the pit for the orchestra is still there.
Oh, a place for you to fall into.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, one of these years we will utilize that. I'm thinking, if we get to the point where we do the gong show, we need a live band. So why don't we use the pit?
Oh, I thought you'd just get all the wrestling mats from the school, and it would be a pratfall thing when everybody would fall into the orchestra pit.
Almost. But, so, you know, the orchestra pit's there.
But that harkens back to the old days of silent movies, where you needed at least an organist, if not an orchestra, to go along with the film.
Well, it's like I even told you to do this, but that's a very interesting point that you bring up there, because one of my pet projects that I'm going to be starting out here is I would like to fundraise in Harbor Beach to get an actual theater back into the theater. So a big theater like that seats 440, 450 people. we need to add that last element. You know, they're working on getting a big marquee outside, you know, the big lit lights and all that stuff on the outside. But what I really want to, there's nothing like hearing that old-fashioned organ theater or theater organ inside just blasting away. And so that's going to be one of my next pet projects, I think, is to see if we can raise the funds to get a pipe organ, either a Wurlitzer or an Allen Digital or whatever we need to do in there. So
you sure. Haven't been watching the soap opera channel, and this is your whole point. You did what?
Not quite, but Craig, I think you have a future in radio. I grew up, so as a kid, we went to the Fox Theater for, you know, the Rockettes Christmas Spectacular, whatever it was, and you walk in the Fox Theater, you just hear that noise, and you hear that sound, and you just fall in love with it, and that's where that process started for me, at least, and I think it'd be really cool if we could do that in Harbor Beach, and I think it's possible, because it's an old-fashioned theater, and what we found is where the side wings are in the staircase up to the stage, there's a lot of empty space, which were typically where an organ or the pipes would be for an organ. That space is still sitting there empty, so it's definitely possible.
Well, and theaters in the past were engineered, not just designed. They were engineered so that, because you didn't have sound systems, you didn't have that. You had to be able, if they were talking on stage, the acoustics had to be right to get everything out. I mean, it was an art form in and of itself just to build it.
Yeah, and that's where, growing up in Harbor Beach, we took it for granted, because, oh, well, we'll just go down to the theater downtown. The older I get, the more I realize in how much of a gem we have in Harbor Beach. It's, you know, double-deck theater, seats over 450 people, big stage, orchestra pit, the old-fashioned lobby, you got the concessions out there, the, you know, just the architecture in it, and it's just a gorgeous building. And what I enjoy is we push every parameter of that theater to the max for this show. You know, we're showing what kind of horsepower that theater has, and honestly, I don't think we'd be able to do it in any other area auditorium, just because it doesn't have what the community theater has in Harbor Beach.
But it's just been used as a movie theater for a long time, but it has a whole storied history behind it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, back in the day, you see in the wings and backstage, anyone that ever did a show back in, whether it's the 60s, 70s, whenever, all their names are on the walls. You know, you write your name down, whatever, and it's there forever.
Yeah. They frown upon graffiti now.
Well, yes, but, you know, back then it was cool. So there was no such thing as Facebook to brag. You had to do it on a wall.
Wall book.
Yeah. And so, like, for instance, I think some of them are, like, the high school production of 1964 Oklahoma. You know, there's a lot of history on those walls. And so I feel like my goal is to make this another chapter in the Community House history. You know, we've had movies for I don't know how long, still going on. We have now the digital projector. We did that fundraising a number of years ago, raised about $75,000 to make that happen, because the theater in Harbor Beach is a nonprofit, and so that is you don't have the options, or at least some of the avenues you can take as a for-profit theater. You know, you have to kind of support, the community has to support it, and there what you have. And so we, you know, shown movies forever. The band concerts are still there. The Catholic and Lutheran schools do their Christmas plays there, all that kind of stuff. But then come May, it transforms into Television City of yesteryear, and the Harbor Beach Game Show series comes to stage.
So it becomes beautiful downtown Harbor Beach.
Mm-hmm. Harbor Beach Television City.
Television City.
Uh-huh.
So you're doing the two games.
Yep,
you're doing
Press Your Luck.
Press Your Luck and the Hollywood,
Hollywood Squares, yes.
And is that hard to engineer on a stage? I mean, everybody remembers the set, and everybody remembers, you know, there were like little spiral staircases on the side to get the celebrities up, because nobody was going to, you know, hoist them up by a crane or anything. But, you know, is it hard? Because the stage isn't as big as a Hollywood stage. It's a local little theater.
Yeah, you know, the sound stages out in Hollywood were pretty large, you know, at least very tall, and they could kind of build whatever they needed to do inside of it. This way, we kind of have to go backwards. We have to see what the theater's made of, and then we build the set from there. Now, a lot of things had to fall in place to make this happen. When we wanted to start talking about Hollywood Squares, it was about 2.5 years ago, actually. And we're seeing, well, would it work? What's the dimensions of the stage? And from the stage floor up to the top of the curtains, exactly 15 feet. And then it's 28 feet wide is the whole stage. And so, all right, well, what could we use here? And so we did a lot of research as far as the old Hollywood Square set. We did a lot of taking a look at a lot of old photos, some old blueprints of the show, and what we found is it's quite feasible. And what we're building is quite reminiscent of what they did for the original show as well. It's the basis.
Well, this is next month. I hope it's built and not building.
Well,
I know you're maybe in the testing phase, but I'm pretty sure you must be a little bit along.
Well, we certainly are. We started building, I think, now 4 weeks ago already, which is, in the history of the game show, the earliest we've ever done. I mean, I think year two, we were still building right up until the morning of. So it's everything falls in place. It can be a little stressful at times, but...
Quick question. Mm-hmm. For people like, might wonder, are you able to set this whole thing up, you know, way in advance, and then they just roll the screen down and they just show the movies that they normally show there? Or is this something that's like the day of or day before you're like scrambling?
Well,
or both?
Yes. The early years of the show, we ran in that morning, set up, somehow did a rehearsal, rehearsed until we ran out of time, which we never got through all of the rehearsal.
Which and then, was the people starting to walk in the door, basically.
Pretty much. We'd run home for an hour, grab something to eat, shower, and come back and doors open, and we had the show, and we'd somehow miraculously pulled off the shows that we did looking back. But now as the years progress, we now rent the theater on Friday night so that we are able to set up starting early Friday morning. We can start building all of our rigging, because for this show we have right around, I can't remember exactly what it is, but we have over 1500 feet of HDMI cable for this show now this year. Which is taller than the Empire State Building if you were to put it all in one line. So it takes a lot of logistics.
Well, that'd be a heck of a place to have to walk from your DVR down all the way to the top of 1,500 feet. I mean, no one's going to do that, Clark, but that's how high it would be.
Yeah, if we took all of our cable and put it in one single line. But so it takes a lot more rigging, and luckily I have a lot of talented people who volunteer their time. Altogether, we have 38 on staff, and this year credentialed for the show, we have 60 people who are involved in one way or another. But those 38 people are really what makes this show work, is behind the scenes, we have a full-on TV studio control room. We have monitors all over the place, we're doing switching, we're doing input checks, we have the sound booth, Max in the morning is our announcer, and he's back there.
He's your Don Pardo?
Yeah, Don Pardo, you name it, he's it. And Max is amazing at it. When you think of Max, he's built for game shows, and so we take advantage of that. And so, as we're building, this year we're actually going to start building, we have the set built, we're going to tear it down, and then we have to rebuild it inside the theater starting that Monday.
So you like do this in somebody's barn or something, or somebody's shop, and they allow you to tweak it and get it painted and everything else, and
yes.
Then you can just bring it in the day before and make sure everything plugs in right.
Yeah, and someone's looking out from us of above, because this is the first year in 8 years that we've had a heated shop to work in.
Ooh.
So of all years that we needed a heated shop, it was certainly this one. So we've been building in a shop, and it's been fantastic, and we're able to build most of it in there. Unfortunately, the shop isn't tall enough that we can get that third level of the Hollywood Square set built in there, but the way we're building it, it's in pods, and it's going to work because the basis of it is actually scaffolding. And so then we basically build a very large wall, studded wall facade on the front of that, which then all of the technology gets added to that, and so we're able to piece it together and then tear it apart so we can store it in a fairly small spot.
You know, we think of all that goes into this. You talked about all the HDMI cable.
Mm-hmm.
All of this takes programming. And I mean, you just can't go down to, can't go online to Windows and say, I need the Hollywood Squares program for running the sound stage. I mean, do the people who help you on this, do they have to get creative? Are there archives out there that they try to find? How do you pull that together? Or do they just have to do the troubleshooting, this is what we wanted to do, this is what I got to do to make it happen, and here it goes.
Well, in the past 2 years, we've really stepped up that portion of our game, because you're exactly right, those archives don't exist. What we really are able to pull is the original soundtrack, hopefully, and hopefully it's good enough quality that we can use it. Otherwise, we have to recreate everything. So from the logos to what's on the screens to exactly the programming, with Press Your Luck, it's a completely automated, randomized board. And, you know, when you push that button on your contestant stand, it triggers the board accordingly. And then the addressable LED lights have to react to that. And then the TV screens inside the contestant stands have to react to a certain thing. So we took that from last year, Press Your Luck, and raised the stakes even more to Hollywood Squares, because you have three contestant stands. We have nine pods, nine squares in Hollywood Squares to contend with.
Each one has to be able to flash. Each one has to be able to put an X or an O on it. And each one has to be properly lit so you can see the people inside, because the last thing you need is them to be in a little dark box and you don't get to see them.
Yeah, and that's what we've been working through. So we have each square will have 16 and a half feet of addressable LED lighting. And then every contestant or every celebrity will have a 24-inch screen built into their stand inside the square. And depending on whether they get the question right, whether they get it wrong, whether it's the secret square, whether it's the game winner, whether the Clark's Keys are coming down the row, it all depends on what's being on those screens and on the lights. And so luckily it's actually my cousin who lives down in Whitmore Lake. He is a mechanical and electrical engineer, and he likes doing these projects as hobbies, and so he's really been the key to our success with the past 2 years of how we're making these shows possible now. And so it's very complicated. I was down there last weekend testing the system out again, and my mind started just to swim because I was so lost by what was going on. But
they didn't have computers back then. 73, a computer was a room.
Yeah.
with vacuum tubes, and you know we were just starting to get digital calculators and stuff. There wasn't laptops and servers and everything else to store all of this. They had to come up with ways to doing this mechanically, pretty much.
Yeah, and that I don't know how. Well, I do know how. A lot of money and a lot of lights and a lot of cable. Luckily, that's where we're able to kind of modernize the show a little bit. If we didn't have...
And we never on the air got to see the times it went bad and they had
exactly.
to restart the game.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, we're able to get away with a lot of stuff, but at the same time, it's a live show, so we can't do
you
a
can't
second
do
take.
That. You can't say, we had a problem, let's just start over again.
Well, we almost had that our first year. Before the first show, our connection to the main projector actually was destroyed. A chair got set on the adapter, and then someone sat on it, and just the whole feed to the projector went up in flames, basically. And it started smoking, and we had no connection. So we actually had to delay the show 20 minutes while we literally electric taped it together to make sure that the... And so it's fun to watch the crowd react to every time we got a signal. The crowd would react, hey! And then it'd go away. Oh, and this went on for about 20 minutes before we were able to finally fix it. So those things do happen even at the live, but we try and put in...
I hope you're chronicling this.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? There should be records of this, so you can put your own little mark on the wall of the theater and say, go to this website and you'll see all the things that happened and mishappened.
Well, we've always had a photographer. Last year, we added a videographer behind the scenes to see how that's all going on. Actually, if you go to hbgameshow.com, this is our first year for a website, and we have some videos on there. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see a video of last year's kind of recap of how it all goes down. And so, yes, we're trying our best to chronicleize this, make sure we have it for the history books. So when we look back, we'll realize how crazy and stupid we were when we put this show on. But it's
naive. Just say
naive. Naive. That's a good
way
of putting it.
Yes. We just had to get our chops.
Yeah. And I was thinking of a good metaphor on the way over here today of what this show has become. You know, it's kind of like similar to what the space program in Waze, of when they first started the space program, they're literally just launching up, seeing if it would work or not. And that's exactly what we were doing with our first couple of shows. It was marvelous at the time, but at the same time, we had no clue what we were doing. And then they moved on to the Gemini program. And at that point, they kind of figured out, all right, we kind of know what we're doing. We're starting to expand. We have innovations. And then the Apollo mission came.
People got involved, which gave you somebody else to blame.
Yeah. And then the Apollo missions came along. And that's where we're at right now. We're really pushing the parameters of what's capable in the show. And I'm just so proud of our crew, of what we've been able to do. The amount of talent that we've been able to pool together for this show between the builders, the programmers, the talent, you know, the comedians, the people backstage who are making this, you know, everything needs to work in harmony, and somehow we've been able to pull that off 8 years in a row.
Jinx yourself.
I know. No, I'm confident we have enough redundancies in the system so that we try and figure out where we're going to fail, and we try and come up with a plan so that doesn't happen.
Now, most of the games, like Pressure Luck and Hollywood Squares, require questions for the contestants. So they either get an X or an O, or they get to press their luck, another spin, or whatever. Do you try to gear these questions locally sometimes? I mean, you have that option. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to insult anybody, but, I mean, you know, you want to have fun, too. And sometimes a little more local connection can sometimes... can elicit a little chuckle out there.
Yeah, so we always try and do a nice balance of that. We definitely have a local flair of, you know, this year we're going to poke some fun at the wind energy, per se.
Oh.
So we like to keep it topical. We have, you know, the national politics. You know, we'll certainly be making fun of the Washington scene, but be tied in with that and then also the local flair. Like, for instance, one of the questions last year in Press Your Luck was, what restaurant is home of the Whopper? Is it Burger King, McDonald's, or Smalley's Bar and Grill, which is in Harbor Beach? You know, and that got a chuckle. And so we try and keep it lively, keep it light, and keep it fun. And that's what we've realized over the years is it's not just a game show. It's a comedy. It's a 2.5-hour entertainment package between the actual shows of Press Your Luck, Hollywood Squares. We've done, you know, Let's Run Through, Minute to Win It, Pyramid, Family Feud, Card Sharks, Wheel of Fortune, Let's Make a Deal, Match Game, Password Plus, and then Press Your Luck in Hollywood Squares. So we've done, 10 games now, which is crazy to think.
And you need games that are playful games.
Yeah.
Jeopardy is a little...
That's why we've stayed away from those.
Concentration, classic old game is a little slow and a little, you know, harder and slow.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for things that move and keep the audience involved.
Yeah, the crowd reaction is really a big portion of that, and that's when we did Wheel of Fortune. It went over very well. The set was, I think, one of the most impressive we've built, a legit wheel the same size as the show. But the problem was the whole crowd had to sit there in silence while the contestants figured out the puzzle. So as funny as we'd make it, as a host, it was driving me crazy, because if I don't hear laughter, I think the crowd's not enjoying it. So we try and stay away from games like Jeopardy, the concentration, those stuff, and keep it. That's where Press Your Luck really works well. The whole crowd gets to yell the whole time. Hollywood Squares, of course, you get to kind of voice your opinion on, you know, whether it's they should agree or disagree, you know. So there's a lot of back and forth there. And Let's Make a Deal was the epitome of that, just because it was that was just chaos, running through the aisles and coming up with it as we got there. So,
well, I think if you're going to poke fun at the wind energy, you need to wear a bow tie that spins.
Good point.
Every time you do a wind thing,
yeah, it spins. Yeah, we'll go vaudeville on it too. Why not? So we have the show, or we have the games, but then on top of that, I am a huge, huge fan of Johnny Carson. Always have. I don't know why. He's before my era.
Well, everybody knows why.
But
it's Johnny Carson.
It's Johnny Carson. You can't beat Johnny Carson. And so that's, we take some elements from his show of some of the favorite acts. So Karnak the Magnificent, you know, the sage seer, you know, borderline mystical ways he'd ascertain the answer.
When you have the final end alone.
Correct, yes. And so that's, we have Karnak the Magnificent, and so we've been working on those jokes. And then we have Art Fern in the Tea Time movie. We've had this from the first show. And so Art
People
Fern...
People will remember the fork in the road,
yes.
You know, and you get out the Slauson cutoff, get out and cut off your Slauson. All those jokes fall into play with Johnny Carson.
Precisely. And so we work those into the show, and so it's really, there's something for every age group. You know, we don't say, there is some, you know, testy humor per se, some adult humor here and there, but from pretty much age 18 all the way up to 85, there's some humor for someone, because it's either going to trigger a memory from Johnny Carson or the 70s to, you know, a topical funny or from today. It's a nice combination of things. And so we have Art Fern Tea Time movie, we have Karnak the Magnificent, and then we debuted, this is his third year actually, from the Gong Show, Gene Gene the Dancing Machine. Would come out, and he kind of does some interludes sporadically through the show. So it's kind of has a feel of Rowan and Martin's Laughing at moments, just because there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of segments here and there, but it keeps
it
lively.
You need the entertainment acts between to set up the new stage for the other thing. I mean, there's method to your madness.
Very true. Very true. And the thing with Hollywood Squares is we have to build that set starting on Monday, so we can't move it. And so we kind of had to restructure the whole show of where we are on the stage and to make it work. So we've figured out a plan so that Hollywood Squares can be there. We can do the first half of the show. We'll have an intermission. We'll get rid of that set, and then we have Hollywood Squares for the second set. So, but there's a lot of logistics. We have a huge crew backstage to make that happen. And so it goes off fairly seamlessly always, and that, there's always some, you know, some of the best moments of Johnny Carson was when things went wrong.
Well, and he and like Letterman, sometimes when they, you know, the look when they're talked themselves into a corner was more entertaining than what they were actually trying to nail.
Yeah, I've been working on my two-step dance for if a joke fails, I'm just going to have to go into the T for two dance like Johnny Carson used to do during his monologue. But
you shove a collapsible cane in the bottom of your pocket.
Pretty much. But no, so there's a lot of elements, and so we have a lot of fun with it. The crowd definitely goes away laughing, or at least we hope so. We found that in the past. And if nothing else, we bribe them, because everyone goes home with a prize.
Everyone
goes home with a prize. You know, contestants not appearing on stage, you know. So we take it to the max as far as what the experience is like. So you sit down, and we actually have a warm-up act this year. Rob Little came last year. We're excited to have him back. He's a national act. He's a comedian runs across America. He's on the Carnival Cruise Lines right now in the Caribbean, doing some sets there. He's at New York Comedy Club. He's actually by Maxim Magazine, the Comedian of the Year, a couple years back. So he's absolutely hilarious. He's one of our whammies. He did a warm-up act last year. We didn't think we'd get him back because he's so busy, but he actually cleared his schedule for us. He had so much fun. So he's back.
Well, it was nice to have a gig where you could eat the food and not get sick.
True. Very true. He also does Royal Caribbean. But, And so he jumps on stage right around 6:40, actually, to get the crowd warmed up. So when we hit the stage at 7:05, we're ripping and roaring. So doors open at 6, so you'll want to get there early. For the first time ever, we're doing online ticket sales. This is a big change, and I've been asking everyone for their help to spread the word, because up till this year, it's always been tickets at the door. So starting at 6 p.m., you're ready to get your tickets. This year, it's completely different.
You will know you have a ticket before you leave the house.
Correct.
Which is not necessarily a given in the last few years.
Yeah, we'll always find room for everyone. You know, there's technically 485 seats in the place. So we sit last year, we were I think 425, 430, somewhere in there.
But you don't want to be stuck, you know, exactly. Sitting underneath the center square.
Every seat can see the entire stage. I will say that. There's not a bad seat in the house. But so this year, online ticket sales, that's the big thing. So you have to go to hbgameshow.com. That's hbgameshow.com.
You can Google Harbor Beach Game Show.
It'll pop right up. Right, yeah, absolutely. And so go on the website starting on May 1st at 5 p.m. So that's this coming Tuesday. So 6 days from today at 5 p.m., those tickets go on sale, and you're able to reserve your seat by section. So you'll buy either tickets in the balcony, which are $15, or seats on the main floor, which are $20. So we're trying to...
But they're not numbers.
Correct.
It's when you get there, you...
Then it's general seating inside that section. So still have to get there early. But you're guaranteed that a seat in that section. So we're pretty excited about that, just because up to this point, it's always been, I always enjoyed the anticipation, you know, seeing the line outside. Because last year
first year, you were sitting there in anticipation if anyone
show up. No, that's exactly it. And you can actually read our history on the game show website, hbgameshow.com, of how it all started. You know, we were hoping for 100 people. We'd be ecstatic if 100 people showed up. Well, 150 people showed up. And then we've just been adding people every single year since. It's a fun show. I'm not going to lie. I'm biased when I say that, but it's certainly a very fun show because it's just entertaining. It's not your typical fundraiser of, okay, here's a door prize. Okay, we're going to do a raffle. Okay, we're going to do an auction. We're going to have a dinner. No, this is a one-of-a-kind experience that it's a game show that also raises money for the community. You know, we're projected to make about $5,000 this year for the Harbor Beach Maritime Festival, which is a free festival in Harbor Beach. We've fundraised in the past for the theater, for the portable stage, for the community of Harbor Beach. Now we're back to the Maritime Festival again, because that whole festival has cost right around $40,000 altogether. So it's an expensive festival. We're trying to do our part, and I certainly lose money on the endeavor here, but it's worth every single penny, in my opinion.
Well, and in past years, you helped to build a portable stage that they use at the festival and other events around Harbor Beach.
Yeah, and this year we're actually been adding more and more concerts because we now have the ability to set up our stage within 15 minutes. The whole thing's hydraulically automated, And it's so covered. It's covered. That's another big thing. And
they don't get sparks from their instruments when they play them.
And if it's that famed northeast wind in Harbor Beach, we can put the back of the stage there and we can actually lower the back of it. So they're protected that way too. So we've tried to think of all the different opportunities there, and we're actually adding some Friday night concerts throughout the summer now to add a little bit more opportunity inside Harbor Beach in the summer months at least.
Now, maybe I'm asking the wrong question here. Maybe it's going to be a big secret. Are you announcing who is going to be in the squares?
Well, yes and no.
I mean, is there going to be a psychic backstage so they can channel Paul Lynde and Wally Cox and...
In the past, we've had the six celebrities from Match Game. We retired Match Game last year. It was a great three-year run. One of the best game shows out there is Match Game. So we have those six celebrities coming back. Pat Murdoch, Sue Sorensen, Matt Woodkey, who's our builder, and then Deanna Rubel, and then Jeff Wachowski, who joined us last year, and then Warren Yangle, originally from Sebwing, and now lives over in Sanford Lake. Those six are back, and then we're adding three more. If anyone knows the band director from North Huron, DJ Darren McNabb, he's going to join us this year. Absolutely hilarious guy. And then her name is Trinky, and she's from Novi, a family friend of ours. She is the closest thing we could get to a Paul Lynde in that center square. So she'll be our center square. It's very difficult to explain Trinky, but with the name Trinky, you kind of get a hint of what she's like. She's just larger than life.
You either grow up funny or you grow up
exactly. And Trinky is just one of the legitimately one of the funniest people I know. It will make you sit there and you just cry laughing because it's so funny. So, and then she's our center square, and then we're that final square. We have an idea, but we're going to keep that one under wraps a little bit, just in case he believes he can make it, but we're not sure. So we're going to keep that one under wraps. And when the time comes, we're going to debut that ninth square. But
you're going to have an understudy somewhere around me.
We've got those. We've got backups for backups because something is bound to happen always between now and showtime on May 12th. But it's a lot of fun. When we started this thing, we didn't think we'd get to this level ever. You know, when we first started, we said, if we get $1,000 in sponsorship, man, we'd be golden. Well, we have $2,000 worth of lumber this year alone. So it's the show's budget has grown dramatically, and we're just so grateful between the theater, the community house, their staff is just bending over backwards for us and kind of let us have a lot of freedom in there. And then the city of Harbor Beach, all the funds run through them, and they're very supportive. And then even the businesses in town are able to, you know, we are able to have charge accounts set up. And so it's taken a whole collaborative effort between a lot of different entities to make this show successful. And I'm forever grateful to that. And especially the 38 people on staff is no one gets paid. No one. And it's just everyone's there because they enjoy it and we have a lot of fun doing it and just do it for the community. It's in my opinion, one of the pinnacle events in Harbor Beach now.
Do you save all the elements of your shows? I mean, Hollywood and television have a history of having great classic shows, and they tape over the tapes, and they get rid of the special effects or the things that made the show unique. Do you have like a barn out there, somebody, where they're allowing you to store all this stuff? Because you got the wheel from Wheel of Fortune, uh-huh. You've got the pyramid, you've got Family Feud has weird shaped things they stand next to, and the board in the back. Is this something you are trying to archive and save, or do you have to take some of that to make what's coming up work? You can take HDMI cables, mm-hmm. They're changeable, but you know, are the basics being preserved?
Yes, so those components for the technology, we reuse those in a different form every year. But all of the sets we still have, it's a combination of, I rent a storage unit, which is, you know, I enjoy the show Storage Wars. And I always find it funny, you know, when they open it up and they don't know what to expect inside. And I can only imagine if that storage unit was on Storage Wars, because they'd open it up and be like, what is this stuff? You know, it's a Family Feud set. It's a Match Game set, Card Sharks, Johnny Carson desk. There's a, you know, just a lot of random set pieces jammed into this storage unit. And so we keep everything. And then it's, you know, in some garages here, some garages over here. And so it's a big combination of storing this. It's as we continue to grow and gain more sets, it gets a bit more complicated. If we get to the Price is Right someday, I don't know how we're going to have some sort of plan at that point. At least probably build a shed, honestly. But it's a big hurdle to get over, is where are we going to store these things? And so we build it in a way that we can make it as compact as possible.
Because you're going to be coming up on like a 10th anniversary and such, and you might want to pull some classics out and maybe, you know, just use the old good old times again. I remember this, and you can tell them, this is where the thing died the first year, and we had to keep going.
Yeah, and so one thing we have thrown out was the original contestant stands. We upgraded those last year. You can see those on hbgameshow.com, and so those are what looks like on the prices right now. Is the showcases, the stands. Those are exactly what we have now. So there's a lot of pieces there, and you're absolutely right. When we get to that 10-year anniversary, we'd love to do some sort of just, blowout of a show where we just, hold bar none and just let her rock. And so we're close to that every year as it is, but now here we are. We need to keep upping the ante every year, and we my biggest fear is to have a dull and a show with no energy. So we always try and keep it, so it never becomes stale. We always try and do as much new stuff as possible, figure out what worked last year, change that up to make it feasible this year in an even better way. And I think that's where we're really at right now is, Press Your Luck was a huge hit. We've upgraded a few things on top of that. The Whammies are running with their ideas already for all those scenarios. Then Hollywood Squares, it's going to be impressive. It takes up every square inch of that stage from 15 feet to the width. It's going to be there, and it's covered in plexiglass, so it has the boxes with the lights and the TVs in front of every celebrity, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, terrific. Seems like you get bigger and better every year. Any games you're thinking of in the future?
What?
That you because you do need games that are very intense player question-answer type of things, not mm-hmm. long, drawn-out thing to the end. Are there any, because you seem like you've hit most of the biggies.
We've hit a lot of the big ones. That's one problem that we're in right now. But when we start developing these shows, we really need to make a decision by September of the previous year so we can have it for May. And that's where we really got down to business with Hollywood Squares. But in the future, we're looking at, looking at the specs of Joker's Wild right now, which actually just has a reboot on TV right now, which I find ironic. But so Joker's Wild, that's one option in the future. Sale of the Century. There's a lot of those. We're getting into the 80s now a little bit. One show that I'd really like to see, and we might be able to pull it off, is Supermarket Sweep. And so
have a little grocery store.
Have a grocery store. But now, not on stage, but half block down is Sandman's Grocery. And so we have the abilities that we could beam our signals. We get our contestants, and when it's time to go in the grocery store, we run them down a half a block, and then we beam the signal back to the theater. So that's one thing we're looking into, seeing if it's feasible or not. But regardless, what I can guarantee in the future is it's going to be an entertaining show. If we have to bring back out, Pyramid, Family Feud, whatever, so be it. Those were huge hits as it was. So we're not concerned about that, but we're always trying to top last year, which is always a tough thing to do, but we're up for the challenge.
Thanks for being with us today. Again, tickets May 1st.
Tickets on sale May 1st at 5 p.m. That's this coming Tuesday at hbgameshow.com.
Online, you can make sure you have a ticket before you've had dinner that evening, so you're not sweating it when you get there. Oh, we've got to get there 4 hours earlier or we won't get a ticket. That type of thing.
Yeah. So, well, hey, thanks, Greg.
And the two games are Hollywood Squares
and Press Your Luck. Yep, we're excited.
Thanks for being with us, Clark.
Hey, thanks. It's always a pleasure, Craig.
Our guest today on the program, Clark Ramsey. Again, the Harbor Beach Game Show series coming up again Saturday, May the 12th. Our own Max Cook will be the announcer there for, the Don Pardo type of thing. Oh, and you've won creamed corn. And Clark, of course, will be hosting the shows. It starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets available online May 1st, starting at 5 p.m. There will be tickets available at the door if they're available, but you might want to make sure you get them beforehand so you've got a ticket in hand. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.